brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Results Matter Radio. It's Tuesday, October 23rd, and I've got a great show for you today. Today's show, we will be focusing on and showcasing Atlanta's World Showcase of Governors International Awards winners. Emily Fu is here with us. Wilson Fowray is also joining us. And Burr and Foreman partner Edward Brown is in the studio as well. Guys, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having us here.
So, Emily, I'd like to start with you. You were the winner of the Individual of the Year Award, your company, Capital Investment International, Inc. Please tell us about the company.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Good morning. So good to be here, and it's an honor. Yes, Capital Investment International, our company, is mainly in real estate and also consulting. And we do a lot of brokerage, real estate development, and also international. We do international business with China and Indonesia.
Now, how did you get into this? You were originally from Indonesia. When did you come to the U.S.?
Well, I came here in 1976, a long time ago. Georgia was a little state, and Atlanta, we didn't even have 285 Spaghetti Junction yet.
Nice small town.
Yes, and when I came here, arrived at the small Hartsfield International Airport, everybody looked at me, I'm an alien, because you didn't see a lot of Asian people in Atlanta. I remember when I went to Alabama, I think I say it correctly one time, in Tuscaloosa, one of the little boy asked me, "Where did you from? Out of space?" And so I came here because I to seek higher education. I came to study in Georgia State University.
Very fine school.
And yes, and that's after I graduated, I decided this is the best place I want to stay at. Even though I traveled throughout the United States, I still love Georgia the best.
Well, we're glad to have you. Georgia is certainly glad for the business that you've driven right here in the Atlanta economy. So let's talk more about your company and what kind of clients you work for, what companies you partner with, and how you assist them.
Well, I work with people from, we started it, working with a client in Atlanta when the Olympic 1996 were announced. I see that the influx of international community come to Georgia, especially Metro Atlanta. So I see the need of a service for this international clientele. And then slowly we expand, and we also work with clients from China and from Indonesia, and also all different countries from Asia. So mostly right now I focus in China and Indonesia, because China, where my parents came from, and then Indonesia, where I was born.
And what about the economic opportunities in those areas and as it relates to what's going on here in Atlanta?
I think it's a great opportunity with the globalization, with the growing of the economy in Asia, especially China and Indonesia. A lot of people didn't realize that Indonesia is the fourth largest populous country, and because of the right now it's very stable politically, and so there's so much opportunity on both ways. In both country, and because Georgia is also a very welcome investment to come to this state, the government support and welcome foreign investment where we can create job here. So it works out as a win-win, because people, business day in China, the government also encourage going global to diversify their investment. And so this is a great opportunity for both China and state of Georgia.
Now, in addition to just developing the private sector, there's also great importance of this public and private partnerships. Talk about the role that that plays.
I think what you say, public and private partnership is so important because a lot of time the state, the government only have the limited resource, and the private partnership, because of our network, our resource, we'll be able to bring that resource, and we can be partnered very well together. And so it's a very, very good win-win situation in anything that we do in marketing the state, or sometimes there's a projects or anything that will be able to bring both party together.
Now, Wilson, I want to bring you into the conversation here. Advanced Global Partners was a finalist for New Company of the Year.
That's correct.
You work with companies that are interested in doing business in Brazil. So let's switch areas of the globe for a moment and now talk about Brazil and some of the challenges and opportunities of doing business in Brazil. But Emily, don't go anywhere, because I want to keep you in the dialogue as well.
Yeah, well, just a few seconds. I had a similar story like her. When I moved to U.S., I went to Tuscaloosa, and then for me it was a little challenge to learn the y'all and then the way people talk there. It was a little challenge. I still have a little bit of that accent. But talking about Brazil and then the challenge we have there, it's in so many areas. You have infrastructure. You have still, unfortunately, still corruption that has there that we have to be very aware and very cautious when you do business with the government. But there are so many initiatives from the government to reduce that, so to improve on the infrastructure. What Emily just mentioned about the public-private partnership, it is a trend that the emerging markets are doing, because that's the way that it should go. The government, either country or any country, they have so much rich to do, and there's not much that a government can do by itself, so it's better when you have a company or private companies to go and invest and then explore that. So that's a way the Brazilian government is doing with the PAC program, is the continuous growth for the country. It's a plan for 10, 15, 20 years that they are talking about investing like billions and billions of dollars. So the opportunity there are so huge and in different areas. But the challenges to go and answer your question, the challenges are on the communication, the language barrier, the lack of some of the parts of the country that are not ready to receive sometimes new business. And that's why when they're not ready, if you have the right people to support you to get in the country, to avoid you to help you to avoid those problems and then overcome those challenges, that's what we do.
Right. I mean, sometimes when you hear about the economic opportunity in some of these emerging markets, as a business person, it's very exciting and you might rush in prematurely or make mistakes. Are there mistakes that you've seen companies make when they're trying to break into the Brazilian market, and Emily also in Indonesia and China as well?
Absolutely. I think that the mistake number one is when you move to a country, doesn't matter which country you're talking about, is when you move there without a good plan. So if you just send a representative, a sales rep, maybe to sell your product or service for the entire country, and we don't have a very close understanding of the market, you don't know the way you're gonna the best strategy to enter in that market. So that's why you're gonna fail if you don't have a plan. You don't have people to hold your hands and to get things done. So or you may take a lot longer, which means they're going to spend a lot more money when you don't have a good plan. So the big mistake is when you don't have somebody that understand the market, know how to do business in Brazil, know how to do business in U.S., and be that in the middle to help you to be successful in that country.
Yes, I think that is very important, because both way, either people from U.S. go to do business in China or Chinese coming to do business in Georgia. And the main thing I see that happening, because what I was been doing was to recruit business come to Georgia. And I can see a lot of time, people don't see that the culture different, the political environment is totally different in two different country, especially in China and U.S. So if you do not have someone that understand both side of, you know, the culture or the business climate, it will really slow down a lot on your progress and cost you a lot more money. So I would really suggest that, you know, it is very important to have someone to guide you through, especially when you break into a new market. I think just like a very good example, just recently Home Depot have to close down 12 stores in China because they tried to bring the same concept, a big box, to China, which doesn't work because we have a lot of middle class in China, but China middle class do not do it yourself because labor is so cheap. And so if they would just learn that culture, then they may not start with a big box store. So that was, you know, one good example.
That's a great example. It is, and fascinating. Yeah. Ed, I mean, you're advising a lot of companies now on business. I mean, as a business lawyer, and really it's not that many companies are doing business that isn't in some way touching international entities at some level these days. Are you seeing that more and more coming up in client conversations, these complexities?
Yeah, well, yeah, you have. And then you said, I've been here about as long as Emily has, and then the change in Atlanta and Georgia has been pretty dramatic over the last 30 years. I'm not sure the Olympics caused it, but if you kind of take 1996 and draw a dividing line, it is, in my opinion, night and day difference of Atlanta and Georgia in the South before and after the Olympics. But yes, you have more and more. We have clients now asking us for more immigration attorneys. They want people to help bring executives and workers over to be able to put them in their plants. They want to look going the other direction, more people making investment overseas. But what we've seen, particularly in the South over the last 10 or 15 years, and it's pretty obvious with a lot of the industrial manufacturing facilities, are foreign companies coming to the United States and particularly coming to the South. And the reason for that is heavily because of what the states are doing. You look at South Carolina with the BM plant or BMW plant. You look at Georgia with the Kia plant, Alabama with ThyssenKrupp. It has Mercedes, Honda. Tennessee has Volkswagen. And obviously, we do a lot of this economic development work. And one of our major practices is working with companies that want to come to the United States and particularly into the South and our footprint, and helping them along with their consultants. They generally have consultants that help them with some of the cultural and political issues. We help them with a lot of their development issues, working with the states. And the states, you know, we have found in the South in the past 10 years have been, you know, very, very receptive to having foreign investment, to have it come to the United States and particularly into their states and compete for it. And I think that's healthy for everybody. It provides a lot of jobs. It provides a stable workforce for us. And it's been a great success story.
Now, Emily, you volunteer your time for the state of Georgia a lot. Tell us how you're involved.
Yes. You know, it went back to 2007 when state of Georgia decided to, open a representative office in China. And I was introduced by one of my colleagues in real estate to Georgia Economic Development. You know, it's kind of funny because I already started travel to China since 1985. And even I did not know that Georgia has a marketing arm, state of Georgia. And so I just, you know, did it myself. And went and market about Georgia. I went over there and tell them how great Georgia was. And I went to all online and figure out what resource we have and try to, you know, brought things to them and, you know, sell them about Georgia. When I found out about this, I was so excited. I said, yes, you know, yeah, there's a department that has it, all of this resource to market Georgia. So that's how I get involved in this, and I helped the state set up the office in Beijing, their first representative office. And And also when our former governor went to China, the first mission, and I helped them, you know, help set that up. And I was very honored to be able to travel and also fly the first inaugural flight with Delta to Shanghai.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yes,
but it was unfortunate that Delta have to cut that flight, and that's why I hope that it will bring more enough business to Georgia again than Delta will continue fly.
A mandatory thing, right. Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the things that you've learned going back and forth and seeing what are the Chinese perceptions of Atlanta or Georgia?
I think from the very beginning, it was very, very hard to sell about Atlanta, Georgia. I remember when I went back in 1985, when I told them where I came from, they said, where was that? Georgia.
Right, at that point, was that it was New York or Los Angeles.
Yeah, when I said Atlanta, they said Atlantic City. I said, no, it's Atlanta. And where, you know, and then, no, if you talk to somebody, a little bit older generation, oh, it's gone with the wind. I said, no, Atlanta is not gone with the wind. We are still here. So, you know, it's kind of hard to sell. But after the 1996 Olympic, that's when everybody know is we tell them, especially when we went back, when Beijing is become, you know, going to host the 2008 Olympic. We have so many similarity and we can tell them about, you know, Atlanta hosting 100 years Olympic here too.
And right. This is one thing that we are selling about Brazil is that legacy or that line on the sand for Rio 2016, the Olympic Games. So it is what is important, the legacy that event. This is just a 4 or 6 years preparation for the event. Is a with the Paralympics is like a month and a half worth of events there. But it's what that will leave for the country, that it will leave for the city. And that's what the government is really focused on, getting the Olympics in Rio to happen, to do it's the legacy that they will leave there.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. It's going to Rio, you know, and it's been in London, which was great, and Beijing was wonderful. But I think what's interesting about both of you being here today is what we've seen, and I think a lot of people are, particularly with some of the problems in Europe these days, mm-hmm. that they've had and are continuing to have, struggling through. You hear more and more in the South and Atlanta, and I think throughout the United States, that really the two major trading partners people point to are Asia and Latin and South America. It's interesting. It used to be just Europe. Everyone worried about Europe. And then it's still a very important trading partner, obviously, but as a matter of fact, I think it was mentioned in the debate last night. They really talked about
Latin
Asia and Latin America.
Yes,
that's right.
As big trading partners. And it's was an interesting conversation, and I think what the two of you are doing are very important for Atlanta and what we're trying to do here and what the city's been trying to do. And it's a great help.
And then, you know, the same – I was in Beijing 3 months before the Olympic Games in 2008, and I said they're not going to be ready. But they were ready and did a fantastic game. The London committee will help a lot the Rio. I'm a part of the Atlanta Rio Sister City Committee here in Atlanta. November 28th, we're going to be talking at the World Trade Center about Rio and opportunities. But one thing that we see a lot between Atlanta and Rio is the collaboration. Atlanta say we can help Rio to make the next games a fantastic event. So that's the collaboration. That's how things should do because of the partnership that we have. It's mutual interest to make it successful and learn from the mistakes that people do in the past. That's the best way to learn things.
Pulling off some of these large-scale sporting events is quite a feat, and it's amazing what goes into making that possible. Before you've got Rio, you've got the World Cup coming in 2014. Brazil going to be ready for that?
As a matter of fact, they will. They will. Next year, actually, the big trial is next year for the Confederations Cup in June and July. Is a mini World Cup. Is the champion for the team's champions for the continents. They selected like 6 host cities, but maybe 5 will be ready. But all the stadiums are like on a 70-80% completion, so they will be ready on time. They would be right on time.
Well, I know everybody's looking forward to that. And it's great that it gives you a glimpse into that country for that set period of time. But there's so much more to the country. So going back to some of the big opportunities economically in Brazil, or what are some of the companies or industries that your company is helping to support Wilson?
It's not only, but I have a lot of approach companies that come to me and say, I want to explore the World Cup. I want to explore the Olympic Games. Well, there's some restriction when you say I want to do business with those two events. First of all, you need to have a joint venture with a Brazilian company to do that. So to sell, because that's a government organized event, so you need to have a joint venture. That's the first thing. But there are so many on the surrounding, if you look about oil and gas, service, financial system. So what, and then the approach that we have, the model that we have in the business, that we are on Advanced Global Partner, it is not a strict industry. So I have like a pet industry, which is, I didn't know, but the pet industry in Brazil is number two, is second after the U.S., I didn't know that. And then I said, well, it's a fantastic thing. So it's a client coming to me, say, I want to go to Brazil and sell my pet products. So marketing companies that want to explore the marketing potential in Brazil is really market advertising. Financial institutions, so on the payment processing, M&A to buy banks or buying credit card companies. Government to work on, say, they want to expand their relationship with different cities in Brazil. Consulting companies, and one of the big things that's happened is the construction industry. So there's a lot of companies from, initially only from U.S., but now I have from Germany, from South Africa that wants to sell their products on the building material to build fast. It's a faster, it's more green and sustainable, good for the environment. So companies from South Africa and from Europe, from Germany, that want to sell building material in Brazil.
Fascinating. So. Now, Emily, for Indonesia, with the stage of economic growth that they're at, where are some of the industry sectors where you're seeing a lot of attention nowadays?
I think Indonesia, because of the logistic and the rich in natural resource. And so Indonesia right now are doing a lot of business with different part of country and with China. And in U.S., actually, Indonesia is just starting. It's not very because of the location, because of the distant and have not doing so much, but the government really, really right now is encouraged Indonesian to explore out to U.S. And as a matter of fact, last year our ambassador and also the president just have a first conference in Los Angeles, and this conference is to encourage overseas Indonesian here in U.S. to start collaborating with businesses in Indonesia both way. And the conference was so successful. We thought this only people from Indonesia, but it's from all over, from, South America, from U.S., from, Europe, attend the conference. We have over 1,000 people attended it. And so we're going to have another conference in Indonesia this year to invite all of the Indonesian overseas Indonesian in U.S. to go back and whoever that interested to do business with Indonesia to attend this conference.
That's great. So there's growing interest. Yes. And a lot of people are really interested in learning more.
It is.
Because of the sheer distance, I mean, it just makes things take time, and it takes a lot more planning.
That's
you can't
right.
just pop on over.
Right.
You hear the phrase, think globally, act locally. What do you think that people can do to really kind of embody that as we see the world evolve more globally?
Yes, I think, the world, whatever we do right now, we have to think globally, because we're not just dealing with whatever that in Georgia or in Atlanta anymore. Everything is evolved because it's evolved with a lot of international around the country, the business community. We all, you can act globally. You don't have, if you want to do business with China, you don't have to really have to travel there, because there's a lot of resource in Atlanta. But you still have to think that globally. You can't just think, I can do business within Atlanta alone. Yes, but you will be able to grow. The future, I think, is a global business. It's a globalization. And I remember 20 years ago when I did a presentation, I told them about this. Everybody looked at me kind of funny, you know. And what do you mean by globally? I said, the world will change with technology advance, with everything. You can do business at your fingertip and here, but you can do business around the world.
That's so true, especially coming off the presidential debate last night where they were supposedly talking about international policy.
And you have, when you talk about globally, you know, if you just think, you know, your country or your city or state, and then when major undertaking, for example, the Panama Canal that in 2014 will be enlarged, imagine the potential of the ships. Instead of going around, they can go from China or Singapore, which was one of the biggest ports in the world. They can go straight to Europe, and then they can make a little stop in U.S. and go to Europe. So that will reduce costs, and it will make the lead time for manufacturing products to be a lot faster. So you need to think on a global perspective, and then not being on a silo. So I'm only my country, and then I'm not going to trade with everybody. So you have to have that global view and see how sometimes a small change on one major in China, if they make a political change there or a financial change there, it will impact everybody. The same thing that it would happen if something happened in the U.S. So
I think you're right. I think particularly for those of the United States, we had probably a 40-year advantage, competitive advantage after World War II. For political, economic, strategic reasons, the United States was we had that competitive advantage. We were the best place to do business. We were the most stable place. We had the best currency. There were many, many competitive reasons why we had a great advantage. That advantage, in some ways, fortunately, isn't as great. The world has become better. China has become stronger. Latin America has become stronger. Europe became stronger. All those things on a global basis are great. We need to understand that we are in that global competitive market. And as we do, I think people like you are able to come and help us understand that. And I think we're turning the corner. I think America is understanding our position, and it's still very strong, and I still personally think it's the best place to do business in the world, but it's not the only place to do business in the world.
Absolutely. Well, but if you think about if you look any chart talking about the GDP, U.S. is, even if they say it's a recession, the country is not working, it's still a $14 trillion GDP.
Yeah, we're still a huge market.
It's a huge market. But and then when you see talking about the potential and opportunities of other countries, the specialists are saying about 2022 that Brazil may be number four. And then Brazil has been growing, even if that this year they talk about maybe less than 2%, Brazil is growing so fast. I mean, and a lot in the past. So they say about 2022, Brazil may be number four. If you talk about oil and gas, so with the reserves that Brazil found a couple of years ago, the pre-salt reserves, Brazil may become the number three on the oil production. So it will be Saudi Arabia and I think Iraq or Iran and then in Brazil number three. So it's a major thing. Just imagine the number of opportunities around that business. Service that need to be provided, people that need it, knowledge, technology that needs to be provided to those type of industries.
Well, and it's fascinating to hear about all of this opportunity and all that you all are doing. We're coming up on the end of the time for today, but we do have a tradition here on the show that we always like to talk about the results that matter here on the Results Matter Radio. So as we're talking about international business, trade abroad, doing business successfully with other countries, tell us what are the results that you work with clients to really achieve as you're moving towards your goals. Wilson, let's start with you.
Well, it changes and varies by client type, but the most important thing is I'm not tied to I want to have the client money. I want to have the client success, because that's what is when I have a client that they close a big deal in Brazil, or they open a store in Brazil, or they open an office in Brazil, that's what it's success for me. And then when they do success, my business is all about the word of mouth and people talking, referrals, and that's what matters to me. Is when I have a client that open an office and start doing business that's successful with our help in Brazil.
Awesome. Emily, how about you?
I think the most important for me is how we're going to help the company or the business to be successful in a new environment. And it is important. And I can see that, you know, with what I did with a lot of different companies from China that locate in Georgia, and I see them successful here, different small and large company. It doesn't matter. They are one person representative office or a 300 job creation company. But when you see their grand opening, when they successful, that's very important. It takes time. It takes time.
Yes.
A lot of this is take times and it take effort and take patience, preservation to tell them what it takes to be successful in the U.S. and instead of Georgia. So that is what I can see. It doesn't matter if I make money or I do not make money, but when you see their success and it's actually evolved, it's a win-win situation, evolve in everything.
That's excellent. Well, we've been talking with Atlanta World Showcase and Governors International Awards winners Emily Fu and Wilson Fowre. Ed, why don't you give us some closing comments about what we've heard here today about international business and what's going on here?
Well, as somebody that was a foreign affairs major in college, never thought I'd get anything out of that. It's been absolutely fascinating. It is something in which I've had an interest in for years, and like Emily and Wilson, seeing Atlanta change and seeing Atlanta grow and the South in general is absolutely fascinating. And we thank the two of you, as well as many of the people that were nominated at the Governor's Awards this year. World Trade Center Atlanta and the Atlanta Business Chronicle did a great job with those, as usual. And it's a great tribute to both of you that you're here today and everything you've accomplished. And we look forward to working with you.
Yeah, and then when I 7 years ago, when I moved to Atlanta, I had the option. But the company I was working with said, you can go whatever you want in U.S., and I picked Atlanta. And then today I can tell with the being a finalist on that award, I can tell that I made the right choice as Atlanta, as a hub and a focus point on the business in the South. So I'm very glad that I made that decision 7 years ago.
Emily, I know you're happy with your location as well.
Yes. I'm proud to call home Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm happy that I decided to stay here 36 years in Atlanta, and I'm still going to be here. And I look forward to helping a lot more people to be successful in here. That's my motto. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for everything you're doing. Congratulations on the Governors International Awards. This is Elizabeth Gordon with Burr and Foreman's Results Matter Radio. We will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.